Amen. So it's good to see everybody out to which may be our last home group meeting. Now this is November of 2012, and I'm not sure if we're going to have a home group meeting in December. There's a lot of things going on. The 25th of December would be when we would have it, and of course there'll be a lot of religious activities going on there on the 25th, and so we're going to have to see what's what's going on there. Amen. But let's go ahead. Let's get into the Word of God. Tonight would be I'd like to continue the series on prayer. This 9-part series on prayer. This will be part 5, and I have the title for tonight, and that will be the direction of prayer. The direction of prayer. Matthew 21:22 is our verse that we'd like to just launch into here, and then do a couple of points from the last teaching, and then we'll go over there. This is a very it's a very, very good teaching, and I really enjoyed it as the Lord just kind of unfolded it to me. Amen. Matthew 21:22 says, "And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." And we kind of talked about this a little bit last time. It says all things. And when the Bible says all, it means all. It don't mean some. It don't mean a couple. It means all. And it says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." And I'll be honest, like I said this last month, actually it was 2 months ago, because Pastor Peter was here last month, I have never met anybody in the Lord that whatsoever they ask, they can receive. But Jesus said it here in Matthew 21:22, and I believe it. And I believe that's something for us just to kind of work for, and something to develop in God in us. And as we come into a greater understanding of prayer and direction of prayer in our life, I believe someday we can come to this point, as Jesus said in Matthew 21:22, that all things whatsoever we ask in prayer and believing, we shall receive. But there's 2 points that I want to kind of talk about, before I get into the teaching, and it's from a couple months ago, and that is, the first point is, Christians get frustrated often about the faith they do not have instead of developing a relationship with the Lord. Of course, the more we develop that relationship with God, the more we come to know Him, the more we learn about prayer, we learn about the things of God, the more we develop in these areas. But oftentimes, Christians really get frustrated. And I hear many Christians talk about, "Oh, I don't have this, and I can't do this, and I see this brother do this, and this brother has a greater light than I do," and so forth and so on. And they really get frustrated. Well, they need not get frustrated. And if you're frustrated tonight, you need not be frustrated if you don't have the faith that you think you need, or you can't do the spiritual things that you want to do. That's not the issue. The issue is, all you need to do is to develop that greater relationship with the Lord. Spend time with Him, read His Word, do all of those things, and you'll be able to develop those things in God. So things in God come out of relationship with God. If you have no relationship with God, then you're not going to have the things of God. That's just the bottom line there. And the second point is, we do not pray or move in God because we are so plugged into the world and ourselves. You know, we're talking about prayer, and often our prayers, as we have seen in the past, are just the givies. You know, we pray about this, and we pray about God giving us that, and all of these things, and then in the end, things don't happen the way that we want them to happen. And that's because in our prayer, we are just so plugged into the world and to ourselves. The more we unplug from the world, the more we unplug from ourselves, the more we'll be able to move correctly in prayer. The more we say, we do not want to be of the world, and we do not want to be of ourselves, and all of those things, the more we can just step back from all of that and see God in His glory, the more that our prayer will be effective, and the more we'll be able to touch lives and do those things that God wants in our life. Amen. Our direction in prayer is toward God. Believing or faith, the word faith and believing is often easily translated and substituted in the Bible. Believing in faith, God will give it to us according to His will because of our relationship with Him, not our prayer. Many people try to make things happen in prayer. Well, it's the things that happen out of prayer, it's not because of the prayer. You know, we try to recite the same prayer, and you know, so many people try to do the Lord's Prayer, Psalm 23, and this is magical or powerful. Well, that's not true. Things happen in prayer out from the relationship that we have in God and believing that God will do the things that He wants to be done. Remember, prayer is communion with God, an intimate communion that helps us come along His ways as we return to His heart and where we all came from. Prayer is communion with God, and it's an intimate communion that helps us along His way as we return to His heart. If not an intimate relationship with God when praying, we are not praying. There must be intimacy in our prayers with God to be praying. Praying is not just, you know, kneeling down and saying a couple words and boom, you're up and so forth and so on. That is not real prayer. That is not what Jesus did. Jesus spent hours and hours in prayer with the Lord. And they were intimate with the Father. So we too must be intimate with the Father if our prayers are going to be effective and do the things that God wants them to be done. God wants to bring us into a relationship with Him where there will be a reality of communication, a real union, a real communication with the Father. John 17:2, wonderful verse, that in the glory which Thou hast given me, this is Jesus talking, I have given them. So, you know, Jesus has given us the glory. The glory that You have given me, the glory that God gave Jesus, Jesus says, I have given them. Isn't that amazing? Wow. Jesus says, I have given to them the glory that You have given me. Not so that they can do things, not so they can pray, or not so they can do all of these, you know, these wonderful miracles and so forth and so on, if they can come out of that. But Jesus gave us the glory that God gave them so that they may be one, even as we are one. Wow, that's powerful. I don't know about you, but that is powerful. Prayer is a pathway back to the heart of God in unity with Him. In unity with Him. The more we are in unity with Him, the more we allow God to work in our life, and you know, the more we come into what God wants for our life, the more we'll be able to be effective in our prayers, and the more we will be able to go back into the heart of God. Communion, again, communication comes out of communion. We look at that in the last couple months, and the communion that we have with God will come out of that communication means. Amen. When we begin as a little one, often we stumble, we flounder, and we blunder along, but God ultimately, if we allow Him to, will bring us more and more in line with what He wants for our life. At first, as children, it is what we want, and then hopefully God can cure us from the gimmies and give us a heart of dedication and sacrifice. All that we do is to give rather than to receive. When we first, you know, come to the Lord, our first instincts are just like a child, is to be able to receive. We want this and we want that. And even in the spiritual, that's also the same. We want spiritual things so that we can grow in the grace and the knowledge and all of those things. But those are zealous, and a lot of that is self-seeking, and in time, God will work all that stuff out of us. And then we will see that we want things from God, not for ourselves, but so that others you may receive. And that is the correct giving in God, is so we receive so that others may give. If God cannot develop this kind of heart in us, then He cannot use us. He cannot use us. This is something that's very, very important. And we see this often in prayer. The more that we allow God to use us and work in our life, and the greater communion we come into, and our prayers will be more effective, and we will be able to see it's not us receiving, but it's us giving and giving and giving. Jesus said in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is something that the church has really, really forgotten, because most people pray in the church and they want to receive, give me, give me, give me, and give me all these spiritual blessings and give me all of this and stuff. Well, even our spiritual blessings, we don't store them up. Oh, no, 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 we don't have some kind of spiritual bank that we can, store up all these blessings that God gives us. That's not the way that works. God blesses us with spiritual things so that we can give those away. And it's for that time. There's a need that we can meet in somebody's life, and so God gives to us, and then we go ahead. And because God has given that to us, then we can meet that need. And if God cannot get us over the gimmies, now listen to me tonight, if God cannot get us over the gimmies, then He cannot use us. We will disqualify ourselves for service by God. You know, many Christians say, well, what are signs of spiritual growth and development? How do I know that I'm growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? 2 Peter 3:18. Well, one sign of spiritual growth is when we really believe this verse, Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than receive. When we come into a place where we really believe it is more blessed to give than to receive, God is getting us over our gimmies, and that is a sign of spiritual growth and development. But that's not what we see in most Christians' lives. In most Christians' life, the reverse of this is true. They believe it's more blessed to receive than to give. Well, that's why there's not a lot of spiritual growth in the body of Christ today. But when God can really work in our lives and bring us to a place to where we really believe this verse, it is more blessed to give than to receive, then there's some spiritual growth and development in our life. We cannot do this because God has given us, has given unto Himself the responsibility of every one of us to care, to give us what we need so that we can be liberal from our lives and move in God. Let me say that again. That was kind of confusing. But we can do this. We can understand that it is more blessed to give than to receive, and we can come into that place of understanding, because we can do this because God has given of Himself the responsibility of everyone to us to care and to give what we need so we can liberally give from ourselves into moving God. God has given to us everything that we need, and so now we have what we need, then we can liberally give to others to what they need. And, you know, that is at the heart of giving, because giving is at the heart of the gospel, of the gospel. You know, for God so loved the world that He gave. And it's the same with us. When we come into this place of understanding that it's more blessed to, than to give and than to receive, then we can come into this place in this understanding that since God gave to us, now we can give to others. Becoming what He wants us to become. United in character and intention. And moving in Him in a real partnership that really works. And not projecting to God and others from ourself certain desires to have our own ways to get what we want. When we know that's not true. You know, so many Christians, they project all of these things in God, and they want all of these things. But most of the time, those are self-centered, and I'm talking about spiritual things. They're self-centered, and they come out of a selfish heart. But when we come to this place of understanding that it's better to give than to receive, then it will bring us into a place of liberation in ourselves, and then we'll be able to unite with Him, and we're coming to a real partnership with God. and good things will begin to happen. We can then cast our care upon Him. As Peter said, cast your care. Not your cares, because cares is a part of the gimme, gimme, gimme. A lot of Christians will say, you know, cast your cares on the Lord because He cares for you. Well, that verse doesn't say cast your cares, it says cast your care. And care is an adjective here, and so we cast the attitude of caring on the Lord. God giveth us over our givings, more blessed to receive. So we cast the attitude about caring for things in our life on the Lord. Not the things, the house, the cars, mansions, vacations, money, and rings, and jewelry, and clothes, and all that good stuff. But we cast the attitude of caring on the Lord because we know that He cares for us. We know that He cares for us, and then, you know, we can come into this liberation, this, you know, this freedom in God, because God cares for us. He's going to give us what we need, then we can give to others. Amen. He cares for us. And now we can come boldly to the throne of grace for others and not ourselves. We can come, you know, boldly to the throne of grace for others. We are supposed to come, the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace, asking, you know, asking for ourselves, oh Lord, give me this. No, we are to come boldly to the throne of grace, asking for others to receive, and so forth and so on. Amen. So God will bring us into Himself, and there will be a response and a reaction from ourselves to God in a way that God desires. Did you know that God is looking for certain responses from us in everything that we do in our life, in every situation that God brings us to? He brings us to this decision point, and He already has in His mind the correct response. Isn't that amazing? I never really thought about that, but it's true. God always brings us, you know, us to a, you know, a decision, and He knows, and He is looking for us to make the, you know, the right decision. Amen. A response, a reaction from ourselves to God in a way that God desires, because of the accomplished work that He's done in our lives, so that we can become what God wants, and then we can give Him what He wants. Wow. God brings us to that place, and because of the spiritual growth and development in our lives, then we can give that, you know, that correct attitude. We can give that correct thought. We can give of ourselves or whatever out of what God wants in that, in our life. Now this is kind of a deeper thought here, and so, you know, you please bear with us. But God is looking for a correct response from us, based on not what we do, but based on what He has done. Now, if you don't get anything so far tonight, you need to understand, you know, in this very, very well, is God is looking for a correct response from us in every situation in our life, based on not what we do, but based on what He has done for us. Because God has done all of these things for us, and He showed us, you know, how much He loves us and cares for us and all of these things. And once we come into that place in believing, even in prayer, then we really believe that, yeah, God really does love us. Wow, God has done all of these things for us. It's amazing. Jesus came and died on the cross for us. And based upon that, that's what we believe. That's the believing. That's the faith that we have. Based upon that, not what we've done, but based upon that, then we can come into a unity and a partnership with Him and get the things done that He would want done. Now we can become what He wants us to be. Not what we have done, but what He has already done for us. That's the basis for us to be able to move correctly in God. Moving correctly in God is not what we do, but moving correctly in God is believing in what God has done for us, and then we, and out of that, we can come into that partnership with Him and get the things done that He wants done, and then we too can become what He wants us to become. We do not give Him what He wants, then become what he wants us to become. Now, that's not the way that works. We become and give what we are, what we have. All of our testimonies and all that we do in God comes out from what we are. Let me say that again. All of our testimony and all that we do in God comes out from what we are, not what we are not, or even what we desire to be. I can listen to someone pray or hear a testimony and hear where they are or where they are not in God. In giving, it is the same principle. It is the same principle. I'm going to cover that again. We become and give what we are and what we have. All of our testimonies and all we do in God comes out from what we are, not what we are not, or even what we desire to be. Amen. So, are self or others focused? Are we self or others focused? All that we do, all that we are, if we are self-focused, then we will not be able to do those things that God wants in our lives. If we are others-focused, then everything we do, everything we say, even in our direction of prayer, will be about others. If you listen to someone pray, you can hear them saying, "Dear Lord, I need this and I need that, and Lord, you know, I have this illness here, and Lord, you know, I need this, and you see this situation here, and you know, well, if someone that prays like that is self-focused, and you know, there's not been much spiritual growth and development in their life. But if you hear somebody that's praying for somebody else, "Dear Lord, bless my wife, bless my children, Father, Lord God. Be involved in, you know, this situation and that situation." Again, I can listen to somebody pray and I can hear where they are in God. And our focus needs to be, it needs to be allowing God to work in our life. And as we allow Him to work in our life and we come to the place that we really believe, that God has done all of these things for us in our lives, then He'll be able to bring us to a place to where we will not be self-centered and self-seeking and looking for all of those things. And we will be able to come into God's will for our life. God's will for our life. God's will for our life does not come out, I repeat, does not come out of us doing things, us going to church, us, you know, writing this book, us preaching, you know, all of that stuff. That's not how God's will is done in our life. God's will is done in our life when we come to a place in faith, believing that God did all of these wonderful things for us, and then we can come into a place of rest and a place, you know, just a place of freedom and liberty, so that we can touch the lives of others. Our direction of prayer is to build us into a house of prayer. Wow. Let me say that again. I hope you caught that. Our direction is prayer is to build us into a house of prayer. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Many mansions. Maybe we are the many mansions Jesus is talking about. Maybe we are the many mansions Jesus is talking about. In Matthew, Jesus said, this is Matthew 21:13, "And said unto them, It is written, My house," not the church, and not the church, "shall be called the house of prayer. But ye have made it a den of thieves." I will say we have made many churches a den of thieves, if you know what I mean. But right here, maybe Jesus is talking about us to be in that house, because you know, the judgment of the Lord begins at the house of the Lord. You know, we are the house of the Lord. Unless the Lord build the house, he who builds the house labor in vain. You know, we find out in the Psalms. We are that house. We are that house. In my Father's house, that's us. Our many mansions. When we pray for ourselves and want what we want, we become as thieves. We become as thieves, and we're robbers, and we steal from God. You know, it is very sad that you know Christians spend a lot of their time praying for things for themselves when they should be praying for others. What they're doing, they're actually robbing from that person, and they're stealing that time where God has ordained for you to pray for them. Instead of praying for them, you're praying for yourself, and so you're a thief, believe it or not, and you're stealing and you're robbing what God would have for them. You're stealing and robbing the things that God would want to bring into their lives, and you're trying to spend them on yourself, and you're trying to invest them into yourself. But that's not the way that is. God said, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, and we are to be that house of prayer. Our direction in prayer is to build us into a house of prayer. Each one of us are to become an expression of God. Wow. Second great thought here in this little section here. Each of us are to become an expression of God. At every place and at all times, we are to be an expression of God. Not in word alone. Not in word alone. John tells us in 1 John 3:18, wonderful verse. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Not just in deed. Oh no, not just in deed, but in truth. You will never ever be able to love in deed if you are not walking in the truth. Let me say that again. You'll never ever be able to love in deed, in action, in working, and stuff like that, if you're not walking in the truth. Because it's our revelation of the truth of the Word of God, what God wants for our life, and how God has worked in us and built us and all of these things. These are the things that enable us to work indeed. To work indeed. And to love indeed. We do not really know what love really means anymore. Unfortunately, the world has taken that word love and has so distorted it. I mean, everybody loves a car. I love this house. I love this. Love, love. Everyone love, love, love. Everyone wears clothes that says love. I mean, the world has just so distorted that word love. But that word love is very, very special to God. And you know the word love appears 280 times? 280 times in the Bible. And it's translated in a few different ways in scriptures. It is translated agape, brotherly love, goodwill. Another way it's translated, it comes from philia, which means to approve or like or brotherly. And there's even another very common way, which is eros, which is, we get the word from erotic. And so there's different types of love. And we always look at that word love, and we always look at it as it being agape. But agape has nothing to do with our emotions. I hope you're sitting down, but that's true. Agape has nothing to do with our emotions. So when we talk about this warm and fuzzy type of love, we are not talking about what the Bible was talking about. When we are talking about this warm and fuzzy love, we are talking more about philia. We're talking about philia being friends and, you know, crossing my arms and singing kumbaya songs, you know. Hopefully we're not talking about eros, but we're talking about philia, because agape is divorced from our emotions. There's no emotions involved in agape. The Bible was talking about something far, far, far beyond that. And if we were to translate the word love or agape into one word, it would be dedicated. It would be dedicated. God has called us to dedicate ourselves one to another, just as He has dedicated Himself unto us. And our direction in prayer, there must be a dedication. You know, there must be an intimacy, a dedication, and out from that, then we come into that place to where we really believe that God has done the things that He said He's done and, you know, He's going to do, and He can take care of us, and that just, you know, just frees us up, and it just continues and going on. The Bible in John 3:16 says, "For God so agape the world that He gave." God so loved the world, God so dedicated Himself toward the world that He gave His Son. That's the way it is in the Greek. And in that giving, you know, was not an emotional, you know, feeling. It was a strong dedication that He gave. Giving is always at the heart of the gospel, as I said. It's always, always at the heart of the gospel. And if God cannot get you, if God cannot get you into a place to where you are a giver, then you're always going to be a taker. God must be able to work in our lives and bring us into this place that we are a giver, because giving is at the heart of the gospel. If you're not a giver, then you're a taker. And there's just no, you know, there's no middle ground here. You're either a giver and a taker. And God must be able to work in our life to make us givers. Amen. You cannot dedicate unless you're a giver. You cannot become a giver, you know, or you can't walk in agape. You see a lot of churches, agape and stuff like that. But you cannot have that dedication. You know, you cannot be a giver. You cannot have that agape and that dedication unless you give of yourself to a great degree. It's just not a little bit. But for us to be able to really walk in that agape, to be able to walk in the dedication, into that word, the way that God has used it, in the expression that God did when He gave of His Son, you know, for us really to walk in that, and walk in that agape love, we must be a giver of ourselves to a great degree. And how can I, when I think of that, I love my wife. I say that all the time. But how could I only love my wife when she has given me 33 years of her life and 4 great children? She has given of herself to a great degree for 33 years. Then I can say that my wife agapes me, and she just doesn't love me because she has dedicated herself toward me for 33 years. That is one of the greatest examples, other than Jesus coming and dying, the Father giving the Son for us, that I can think of is those 33 years that my wife has dedicated her life for me. We'll never be able to walk in the agape love, as so many Christians say they want to, unless we become a great giver of ourselves. That is a requirement to be able to walk in that agape love, and that is to be a giver. This dedication to the world, or God's dedication to the world, was so great, and He gave His only begotten Son. God desires to bring His life into us so that we would become so dedicated. This is one of God's intentions for our life. This is one of those things that God is looking down when He looks at our life. He says, okay, I want this to happen. And God desires to bring us into His life so that we can become so dedicated as the Father was when He gave the Son. Well, I told you this is deep. So God wants to be able to bring this agape, this dedication into our life as God, the same dedication that God gave the Son. And we saw that again, John 17:2. I've given them all glory so that they can be as one as you and I are one. Well, that's the same principle here. God's dedicated to the world so great that He gave His only begotten Son, and God desires to bring His life into us so that we would become so dedicated as He is. And our prayer is to be directed to God so that we too can be dedicated and we can give. We must dedicate ourselves to God. If not, we can never dedicate ourselves to others. Boy, that's powerful. I don't know about you. But a lot of people, they want to dedicate themselves to others, as my wife has dedicated herself to me. And people want to dedicate themselves to others, but you'll never, ever be able to really, dedicate yourself, agape, somebody in the way that God wants it to happen, unless we first dedicate ourselves to God. It's when we dedicate ourselves to God that out from that relationship and out from all of those, you know, the work that God does in our life, then that enables us to have the dedication and the relationship with others. You know, it's easy to drift from one church to another church or be in the religious Christian TV with no responsibility, just hanging around, no dedication to anything except yourself. And even the Pharisees, though, had agape. They were dedicated. They loved the praises of men. They dedicated, they loved the upper seats in the temple. And they were dedicated, they loved to them all of their whole life. But we are to come into line with God so our character can be corrected, so it can be transformed, so it can be matched up, so it can be realigned with the character of God, like He intended in the beginning, when He made man in His own image, after His own likeness, after His Christ-likeness. This is nothing new. This is still God's intention, and God is still working on us, and He's still working on us. In Genesis 1:26, it said, God said, let us make man in our own image. Well, I'm here to tell you, the 20th of November 2012, God is still in the business of making man in His own image. And He will do everything that He can to conform us into the character and the image of Himself. And we see that reflection and that example in the life of Christ. And that's why we too are supposed to reflect the life of Christ. Our direction of prayer will take on different forms at different times. There's no formula. There's no form that indicated indicates if it is a prayer. It is not. If it is not communion with God, then it's not praying. Remember that. If it's not communion with God, if it's not that intimate communion with God, then we're not praying. We're just doing something else, but we're not praying. Jesus' life was a life of prayer. And that's what God is looking for in our life. God wants our life to be a prayer. You know, some of our best prayers have no words. I mean, I've been frustrated sometimes, or I've been in an area or whatever, you know, and it's, oh, God, you know. And God hears that. But our life is to become a prayer. It is to become a prayer. 24 hours a day, prayer is to be coming out of us and into our lives. When we start as a new child of God, often in prayer, we start with what's called duty prayer. In duty prayer, we pray over our food, you know, if we go to, you know, sleep, you know, we're praying or whatever. And I guess, you know, I guess that's okay, but, you know, that's the beginning. And sadly, that's where a lot of, you know, Christians, you know, kind of park out, but they never really go into anything deeper. But after duty prayer, which is supposed to lead us into a prayer life. But the goal of our direction in prayer is for God to be able to lead us into a life of prayer. A prayer life is where we stop, living to pray. Say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to have some prayer with the Lord. And that's good, you know, with the duty prayer, and then we have this prayer life and we read the Bible and pray and stuff like that. And a prayer life is where we stop living to pray. But that's not God's intention. God's intention in our life is for us to keep on living while that we're praying, while that prayer will come out of us 24 hours a day. That's what happened in Jesus' life. I really believe that is what drew people to Jesus. And that was, there was prayer, you know, just coming out of Him. They saw His dedication. They saw His commitment. You know, there was just something that drew Him, you know, that drew people to Jesus. And I believe, you know, it was Him so convinced in the Father, you know, that the Father was going to do all of these things. And it was just, you know, He was so convinced and just believed the Father so much, and that prayer was just coming out of Him, and that just kind of drew the people, and no matter where He went, they just followed. We will never ever realize the faithful. We will never ever realize the fulfillment of God's desires through us unless we decide to move with Him in communication apart from what we want. Now, this is the second thing. If you don't get this tonight, then you haven't heard anything I've said. But we will never ever realize the fulfillment of God's desires through us unless we decide to move with Him in communion apart from what we want. To move into His heart to find out what He wants, His intentions, with a purpose in our heart, to die to self and unite with God. Unless we die to self, we will never ever unite with God. Never. We will never ever unite with God unless we die to self. Death to self is the price we all pay for communion with God. If you want to have real communion with God, which is prayer, that intimate communion with God, that's prayer. The price we will pay for that communion with God will be death to self. And being that expression God is looking for. We will never ever be able to become the expression of the Father unless we can die to self and unless we have that communion with God. For only then when we die to self and we can develop that communion with God, then we'll ever be able to become the expression of the Father that He's looking for in each and every one of us. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, Lord, we just thank You for this teaching, Father, Lord God, and we thank You for this time. Father, Lord God, I ask that You just bless this word, Father, Lord God, and Lord God, it was deep, Father, Lord God, in some parts, and Lord, I would ask that You would just, Lord, just touch hearts and minds and allow Your Holy Spirit to quicken, Father, Lord God, understanding, and Lord, so that people would come to that realization, Father, Lord God, of what prayer is, Father, Lord God, and how we have to die to self, Father, Lord, so that we can have that communion with You, so that we can come in to the things that You want for us in unity, Father, Lord God. Lord, we can come into the things, Father, Lord God, to be that expression of You that You're looking for in our lives and in the world. And we just thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord, and give You all the honor and the glory, Father. And we love You, Father. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Yeah.